morning. As you can see, we're starting a new series called All In. That's why I'm wearing the t-shirt, says All In. And by the way, if you want to get one of those shirts, they have them available in the guest services out in the courtyard. But I don't know if you've ever noticed on the shirts or on the card that you got when you came in that says All In, there's a tagline. And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look at what it means to be all in, and particularly at the tagline, what does it mean to be passionate? What does it mean to be committed? What does it really mean to follow Jesus? So that's kind of what we're going to explore over the next few weeks. And today I'm going to focus particularly on that idea of passion. Okay, now, what I want to do with that is let me just start right off with kind of the core of what I want to talk about today. And I just want to lay out my main point first, and then we're going to kind of unpack it as we go through this. But here's my point. Passion makes great happen. Passion makes great happen. And what I want to do is I want to begin to illustrate that from a human experience, and then we're going to apply that to our relationship with God. Because sometimes it's easier to get our head around the human experience, more tangible, and then we can figure out how to apply it in our spiritual relationship. So imagine there's this couple. We're going to call them Bob and Betty. My apologies to any Bobs or Bettys that are here. This is a fictitious couple, sort of. They fell in love. They got married. And then years after the honeymoon was over, things got a little stale. They weren't mad at each other. They didn't hate each other. They weren't even talking about divorce. But it was clear that the spark had gone out. And so they made probably a mistake, and they came to me for marriage counseling. That's just a little warning. When folks come to me, I'm always asking questions first. And so I ask Bob and Betty some basic questions like, you know, they've already presented the issue that the spark has kind of gone out, the passion has gone. And so I say, well, do you do special things together? Like go out on dates? And Bob says, yes, I take her out on her birthday and our anniversary. Go, good. And I say, is that the only time that you go out on special events? He goes, yes, the 2 days that I'm required to take her out. I go, okay. I sense, Bob, that you're feeling like this is something you're obligated to do. And he said, yes, and she ought to be grateful. It's all the gals that are moaning right now. It's not the guys. Have you noticed that? Then I turn to Betty and I say, Betty, Bob feels like he's obligated to take you out for your birthday and anniversary. How does that make you feel? And she says, I feel terrible. I don't want him to take me out because he's obligated. I want him to want to be with me. I want him to have our times together to be special. And then there's that awkward silence that I let go longer than I should. You see, obligation alone doesn't make for great. Obligation isn't passion. And that's not only true in our human relationships, it's also true in our relationship with God. In fact, Jesus himself invites us to go beyond obligation to really experience the relationship. And it's interesting, what Jesus says to us is that he wants us to obey him. But he wants our obedience, that is, doing the things that he asks us to do, to live the life that he asks us to live, not because we have to, but because we want to. And that's a very different experience. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. If you're going to use the Bibles that are in the seats there, it's page 752. John chapter 14, and look at verse 15. Look what Jesus says. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. Look at verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. So what comes first, the obedience or the love? The love. It's out of the love that comes the obedience. It's love before obedience. It's obedience that's born out of love, not out of obligation. And we all get what that means. I mean, you think of your kids, if you have kids. In my case, my granddaughter, I want her to obey me because she loves me. And when she obeys me because she's honoring me and respecting me, that's really great. But when she does it out of obligation and she's got that look in her eye, you know, that's not how you want it. And what I'm trying to say here is that that's the difference between religion and relationship. You see, in religion, people feel obligated to do what God says. Obligated either because they just want to please God by doing those things. They feel obligated to do them. God's going to be happy with them. And sometimes people feel obligated to do the things so that God doesn't zap them. But that's a way different experience than when we obey God out of love, because that's all about relationship. Because we have a relationship with Jesus, we know Him, we trust Him, we want to honor Him, we want to please Him. We know that His way is actually what's the best way, and we appreciate that we obey out of that expression of love. That's a whole different experience for us, and it's a whole different relationship that we have with Jesus. Yeah, there are days in our spiritual lives, there are days in marriage, there's days at work where we just have to do things out of duty. You know, there are those moments and sometimes even seasons where we just have to operate out of obligation, which is way better than just pure disobedience. But great isn't sustained by obligation. Great marriage isn't sustained just because we're obligated to do things. A great career, a great job isn't because we're obligated to do this or that. That relationship with Jesus isn't great if we just operate out of obligation. And so that's why I said that passion is what makes great happen. Now, when you think of passion, what comes to your mind? You know, what kind of images? You know, when I think of passion, trying to understand this a little better, you know, I think of really great sport fans. And I think the Zona Zoo exemplifies passion, as long as we're not in Tempe, you know, with that. And, you know, fans just, you know, they dress up and they paint their faces and there's just passion there, you know. And then there's the kind of passion that we see in people who really are into fitness. You know, they get up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym. They eat everything right, and most of us are a little jealous, you know, because of that discipline. And then there's the passion for politics. Take a look at this picture. This one, I think there's a lot of passion there. And, you know, people who are passionate about politics all the time, they have a hard time keeping friends because it just drives everybody crazy. And then there's the good passion, the passion for peanut M&Ms. If you're new here, I admit I'm addicted to peanut M&Ms. And we make a lot more friends, by the way, with that. Passion is everywhere. What is common in a passion? It's this intense conviction about something. It's an intense engagement. And that intenseness results in actually being involved and invested in ways that really then result in some way making a difference. When we're passionate, we put effort into something. We put work into something. We put effort into it, whether it's our marriage or whether it's our relationship with Jesus. We put the time and the effort into it to make a difference. And great happens when there's passion, whether it's music or art or architecture or sports, or doesn't matter where it is. Passion makes great happen. What's interesting is that passion is actually commanded by God. More specifically, to love God passionately is commanded by God. Now, where do we find that? Again, take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, page 709 in the Bibles that you have there. What I'm going to read, some of you are familiar with, and if you're new to faith, you may not recognize this right off, but this is called the great or the greatest commandment. Of all the commands, this is called the greatest. And this is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your being. That's what passion is. Now, I love the way that the Message version translates this. We'll put it up on the screen so that you can see it. The Message version says, love the Lord your God with all your passion, with all your prayer, with all your intelligence, with all your energy. You see, heart is passion. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your passion. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your prayer, meaning that you're connected with Him and you're in conversation with Him. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your intelligence, with all your thoughts. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your energy, all your effort. That's passion. That's the best way to describe passion. And here's what's interesting. It's commanded. And so what I want to suggest is that passion isn't something that just naturally happens. It's something we choose. And so let me add two words to my main point. I've already said the first part several times. I want to say it again. Passion makes great happen. And then let's add these two words. Choose passion. Passion is a choice. Choose passion. We choose to love God passionately with our whole being. And it's not just a choice. It's not just one momentary choice. It's a continual series of choices we make day after day. It's a process of that. Now, let's apply this and go back to our Bob and Betty. There was that uncomfortable pause. And, it's clear that one or maybe both of them have quit working on the relationship, that passion has died. And so I say to Bob, Bob, you have a choice. You can continue your marriage just as it is, take your wife out on her birthday and anniversary, just exist together in your home. Is that the life you want? Then that's the choice. Or you can choose passion. And Bob naturally asks, well, how do I do that? And then I suggest some things, because passion's a choice. You can begin on a regular basis to tell her why she's lovely. There was a day that you told her that when you were courting her, and you can tell her again over and over the ways in which she is lovely to you. You can go out on a date more than just her birthday and on your anniversary. You can actually go out on a date every week. And not just do that as an obligation, but use that time to have real conversation and to honor your wife and to please her. Passion, Bob, is when you are intentionally looking for ways to let her know that she means everything to you. And you'll discover and find the ways. You see, the words of Jesus to us actually would apply in this situation between Bob and Betty. I mean, think about what Jesus said, the command we just read, and then translate it to that human relationship. Bob, love Betty with all your heart. Love her with all of your soul. Lead her spiritually. Love Betty with all your mind, with your intelligence. Think about the ways you can love her. Love her with all your energy, with all your strength, with effort. You see, passion is a choice. We engage in things that actually put us in that place of passion, but we have to choose that. And then the same is true with our relationship with Jesus. We have to choose to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. It's a choice. And what we do here at Pantano is that we have created some opportunities, some tools, some things that will help you do that. Hear this clearly. The things that we've created and provide for you aren't because we just want you involved in activity. That's silly. That's ridiculous. We've created some things that will help you to really be able to love God with your whole being. That's why we do what we call the Bible reading plan. The Bible reading plan isn't to get you to read your Bible so that you can say to God, "Hey, God, I'm a good person." The Bible reading plan is to help you actually see what God is saying on a consistent basis. And as you read God's word, God speaks to you. And that's what grows the love. That's what builds the passion. We have a 6-week class that starts every 2 weeks called Starting Point. We created Starting Point for one key reason: to help the leaders get to know you in that 6 weeks and expose you to all the resources here at Pantano that will help you figure out your next step in loving God. Whether it's being a part of a group, that's why we have small groups, because it's in those small groups that we're oftentimes dealing with our issues, our sin, or whatever it is, so that we can love God well. Or maybe it's in service. When you're in Starting Point, we actually introduce you to another room that we have that's called Next Step, finding a place where you can actually serve. See, here's what happens. When I begin serving, when I begin putting myself out there, whether it's serving people here in the church, whether it's serving people in the community, all of a sudden I find myself having to rely and trust on God. As I challenge myself, maybe out of my own comfort zone. And we'll walk with you through that and help you. We talk about giving. Giving isn't because the church needs your money. We give because we put ourselves out there. We give to God generously, trusting Him, trusting that what He says is true. And then we really see how God will not only work to provide for us, but we see how our investment is touching people's lives and making a difference. All of those things isn't about religion. It's not about obligation. It's about opportunities to build and strengthen our passion, to keep our passion alive. You know, just like Bob and Betty, our passion fades. Sometimes it's a short period. Sometimes it can be for a season. I think of it like, you know, those helium-filled balloons. We do events in Coop Court. Hey, everybody in Coop Court behind the curtains there. That was really weak. We do events there, like in April 12th, Sunday, April 12th, we're going to do a baby dedication there. And we have balloons, you know, helium-filled balloons. And then after the event's over, we like to give the balloons to the kids. And inevitably, one or more kids, you know, loses it and it goes up into the ceiling. And parents say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, I bet that's really hard to get those balloons down." I go, "Nah, it's no problem." Because in a matter of days, the helium escapes from the balloons and they begin to sink, and pretty soon they're on the floor. I mean, the helium just escapes. And to me, that's a picture of what happens in our lives. There are things in our lives that cause the passion to dissipate, to leak. For example, being overly busy. You know, sometimes we, by requirement or by desire, we get really busy at work. We put in extra hours. And then that puts pressure at home, because now there's still all the needs at home and we get really busy at home. Or maybe it's a project that at home or a hobby that we're involved in. And all of a sudden, life is really full. And what happens in that case? We lose our passion. It leaks. We get so busy that there's really no room for God. And when we face those times, at some point we have to say, "I have lost my passion. And the reason I've lost my passion is there's no room for God in my life. And I have to carve out that place, that space for God. I've got to re-look at my schedule and make some choices." Passion is built on those choices. Another thing that robs us clearly of our passion is a thing called greed. We don't talk a lot about greed, but it's interesting. Jesus often talks about greed. And by greed, I'm not talking about the the really mean, gross greed that's pictured sometimes, you know, in movies and so. I'm talking about the everyday kind of greed. And everyday greed is when we take more than we give. When we want God to bless us, but we don't put much attention to blessing God. And that's what greed is. It's when we take more than we give. And that kills passion. Now, I got to take vacation and visit Israel. I was there a week in Israel. And a part of the experience was we got to go to the Dead Sea. And I so was looking forward to that because I was told that I could not only just swim in the Dead Sea, but that in the Dead Sea I would float. Now, that may not mean something to you, but all of my life I have never been able to float in water. I can fill my lungs with air, and I have this kind of body that just sinks right to the bottom. So I was really excited, and sure enough, I got into the Dead Sea and just laid back, and I could float effortlessly. It was amazing. You know why I can float in the Dead Sea? Because it's 34% salt and minerals. It's very dense water. Now, why do they call it the Dead Sea? Because nothing could live in it because of the mineral content, the salt content. And why is the mineral and salt content of the Dead Sea so stinking high? Because for centuries, for thousands of years, the Dead Sea is more than 1,000 feet below sea level. And all the water from the Jordan and the other tributaries come into it. Water comes into it carrying all of those minerals and salts, and nothing goes out. That's what happens in our lives. When we just take and nothing is given, the result is we die. The passion dies. We experience passion as we choose to give our time, as we choose to give ourselves to others, as we choose to give our money to others and to the Lord. That's when the passion comes back. That's when it becomes very, very real. There's another one that robs us of passion. Secrecy. Whether we're involved in some kind of sin right now, or maybe it was a long time past, when we keep that a secret, it actually diminishes our passion. Or maybe it's we're keeping secret the guilt of that sin or the shame that's connected to that sin. And what happens is that when we keep that a secret, it's very, very difficult, almost impossible to really be present with God. And so it's inevitable that the passion will leak and wane in those situations. And there's other things that by the way, that whole thing of secrecy is why I really encourage you to be a part of a small group where you can get to know some people, trust some people, you have the shared value of following Jesus, and you don't have to keep those things hidden. It's a powerful, powerful experience. Now, the Apostle Paul, he understood how really difficult it is to maintain our passion. In fact, take a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, page 790 in the Bibles that you have. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. See, Paul recognizes that that's a danger, that our passion can wane and can leak. So he says, you know, keep that spiritual fervor. Put some effort into it. It's something that has to be given attention to for the long haul, not just for today, but day after day that we put attention to that. You see, passion makes great happen. Choose passion. That's what Paul's reminding us. Choose passion. And so as you begin to think about it, I think, what would help me to strengthen, to grow, to restore my passion, to have that deeper relationship with God? It's not for lack of opportunities or tools or resources. It's ultimately that choice. Do I want to engage in at some level that's fairly intense? And see, here's what happens. If we choose not to be passionate, if we choose not to engage with some level of intensity, if we choose not to put ourselves out there with God, then what results ultimately is we get to this place of spiritual boredom, apathy. You know, maybe it's because we don't want to make a commitment, and so we just want to keep our options open. But what that really leads to is inactivity. You know, we end up finding ourselves just going through the motions. Maybe we attend church most of the time. Maybe we read the Bible once in a while, but really we're just going through the motions. And what I'm suggesting is that the lack of passion is a choice. By choosing inactivity, by choosing not to commit, by choosing to keep our options open, we actually are choosing that boredom, that apathy. Or we can choose passion. We can choose to engage. We can choose to put some effort. We can choose to commit. We can choose to be all in. Love the Lord your God with all of your being. We can choose to be all in, sold out, fully committed, devoted to Jesus and to the way of Jesus, trusting Him that His way really is good and right, trusting Him that if we will follow Jesus, He will use us to make a difference in this world. That's our mission. Our mission. Those of you who've been here, you know this. If you're new, let me say it again. Our mission is loving people to Jesus. If we will do that, if we will really love people to Jesus, there will be passion in our lives. That's why we do the thing called Pray for One. I've introduced this to us. That's what this little bracelet reminds me. Pray for One. That I am praying for one particular person, that God would use me to be an influence in their lives, to help them follow Jesus, to know Jesus, to serve them, for God to open whatever door that I can truly love that person. And if it's the Lord's will, love them to Jesus. That's when life begins to happen. That's when great happens because of the choice to be passionate as we follow Jesus. But it's a choice. It's a clear choice that we have. I have an acquaintance, Mark Batterson. He's a pastor in Washington, D.C. I love his writings. He's a great Christian leader, and he says that we're one decision away from a totally different life. When you choose to be all in following Jesus, That's one decision away from a very different life, a passionate life. Now, choosing to be all in will look differently for each of us. It will play it out differently, but it is a conscious choice that says, I am all in. I'm not going to hold back. I'm willing to go all the way. I love the song that we sang earlier. It was the song White Flag. We talk about, we raise our white flag. We surrender all to you, all for you. And that's what brings back passion in our lives. That's what makes great, whether it's human relationships, whether it's the world in which we live in, whether it's our relationship with God, it's that passion that makes great. So there's some choices that we can make. Now let me talk about the most fundamental of those choices. It's the decision to follow Jesus. Some of us here have already made that decision. Some of us haven't yet made that decision. That's where it all begins. A clear, conscious decision that says, I trust Jesus enough. I trust His way that I am ready to follow Jesus. I don't know where it's going to lead me. I don't know where it's going to end up. But I know today, right now, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to live life the way He asked me to live it. I'm going to let Him take charge of my life. I'm going to let Him lead me going forward in the decisions I make, in the relationships I have, how I live my life. I'm going to do that. I want to challenge you, if you've not made that decision, to think about it. Maybe talk to somebody you came with who can help you with that. Talk with us. We're going to have some of our elders that'll be up here after the service. Some of us will be at the connecting place. We'd love to talk with you. Give us a call. But I want you to think seriously about making that choice to truly follow Jesus. In 2 weeks, we're going to have an opportunity for baptisms. And here's what baptism is. If you've made that decision to follow Jesus, baptism is that point where you make the declaration first to God and to everybody else that you are going to follow Jesus with all of your being, all the days of your life, that you're going to be all in. What's interesting is how we do baptism is we do baptism where the person goes completely under the water. It's a symbol of being all in and coming out of the water afresh following Jesus. And so again, I want you to think about that. If you make the decision you want to follow Jesus, in 2 weeks we'll have the opportunity for you to express that in baptism. It's kind of a beginning point. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. If you have questions, again, come see us at Connecting Place. Call the church office. We'll give you instructions. We'll tell you all about what... We've got everything ready for you. But I want you to think about that. That's the first decision. The second decision I want to challenge you with is to choose to be an all-in partner. When you came in, you got this card that says, I'm all in. What we do here at Pantano's, we don't do a thing called church membership. Because membership, to me, can get really misguided. You know, I'm a member to get something. No, that's not what this is about. We call this all-in partnership because what I want to challenge you to do is to say, I am all-in following Jesus, and I'm all-in and allowing God to use me, joining with others, that's why we're partners, to really make a difference right here in Tucson, in southern Arizona, and in places all over the world. All in meaning I want to give my prayers, my prayer support. I want to give my time. I want to give my effort. I want to give my money. I want to give whatever it takes for us together to really make a difference as we together follow Jesus in obedience because we are passionate about Him. We do this every year. This isn't like a one-time deal. So maybe you've never signed the All-In card. By the way, you can sign it and put it in the offering later in our service, or you can sign it digitally online. Maybe for the first time, if you've done this in the past, you need to redo it again. You're already wiped off. We have no All-In members right now. Except me, I signed up online. Because we want this to be a fresh commitment. Not something that was something we did a long time ago, but that we think about it and make the commitment fresh. I want to be all in. I want to make a difference in that. I'm going to ask our servers, if you would please prepare for offering and communion. So for the first time or as a renewal, as a refreshing, I want to challenge you to be all in, an all-in partner. Being active. It's not just about signing a piece of paper. It's about really choosing to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself to make a bigger impact. And that's the life that Jesus calls each and every one of us to. Passion results from the choice to be all in. Passion is a choice. We can choose passion, or we can just choose to go through the motions. Don't settle. Don't settle for just going through the motions. Don't settle for boredom. Don't settle for just being inconsequential. Passion makes great happen. Choose passion. In just a moment, we're going to take communion. And if you made a decision to follow Jesus, we invite you to participate. In a moment, the servers will come and pass the communion tray. Take the cup of juice, the piece of bread, pass the tray to the next person. And then as you hold that juice and bread, may it be a reminder of the passion of Jesus. You see, the word passion actually comes from a Latin word which means suffer. That's why Mel Gibson, when he did the movie about the final days of Christ, his arrest, his beating, his crucifixion, he called that the passion of Christ, the suffering of Christ. You see, when we're passionate about something, we're willing to pay the price. We know it'll cost us something. And Jesus had passion for you and I. He